Hello, everybody. Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're going to talk about body types and the diverse types of body, you know, height, weight, strength ratios, all of those that you will see at various special operations programs. We're going to talk specifically about BUDS and our BUDS class and those who made it, what types of bodies that were there, maybe even kind of come up with the ideal body type, if there is such a
someone or something.
Yeah, if it was such a thing. So yeah, let's try that. So I guess the biggest question is, and we get this a lot about lifting weights, is there, can you have too much muscle at BUDS?
Yeah, you definitely can. It's again, when we're talking these extremes, those extremes tend to be less than efficient.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that there is this, based off of the feedback that we get, there is this continued fear of resistance training. And I understand why, because it's very easy to kind of demonize the big guy, but it's also equally easy to demonize the guy that's too small for
second. Can you have too little muscle mass at BUDS?
Yeah, you most certainly
can. I think you could say yes for both.
Right. And so that's the idea, is we got to stop looking at these very black and white top conversations that are very gray. Because instead of asking yourself, well, what's the best body weight? What's the ideal body fat? Am I too small? That's not, you're asking the wrong question. The question should be, am I able to produce enough force, manage enough force, endure these strength endurance protocols, endure purely endurance thing? Can I do them? Can I complete the task? Can I exceed the physics of what's being asked? Because again, we're talking about, we have a known distance on your swim, on your runs. We have known distances on your swims. The obstacle course hasn't been changed ever, really. Yeah. Like, we know what it takes mathematically to do these things. And now we have a huge, huge data pool of people that have passed and failed. And the commonality to all of them is, here's the commonality. For the big, for anyone that graduates BUDS, the commonality is that particular body type that person had, or has, was able to achieve the runs, the swims, the obstacle courses, the endurance piece. They were to be able to do all that. And what you find is a really good balance based off of their height and weight. And we can say, well, we don't have a morbidly obese people completing BUDS. We also don't have someone really emaciated completing BUDS. Right. Essentially, what I tell people is, you're looking at a population of decathletes.
Yeah.
Based off body type, their ability to exert force through maximal force, strength, endurance, resilience, all these sort of things. You're looking at somebody that can kind of do everything pretty well. Some things they do exceptional just based off of what their experiences are, what they've been exposed to, but they're the ideal body type that we're talking about is someone that is well-rounded, that runs well, swims well, can lift weights well, do, and then make changes. It, like, instantly go, hey, we're done with the obstacle course. We got to go run.
Yeah.
Switch it and go, right? And vice versa. You have an endurance event that you need to complete, and then you eat, and then after that, you get thrown in log PT, which is more of a strength endurance.
Yeah.
It's not really – I mean, you're certainly, your heart is elevated, and there's an aerobic component to it, but that we're talking strength at that point, strength
and
endurance.
Yeah, and joint stability.
Yep.
You know, all of those things, you know, people who are hyper flexible, you know, it can really hurt themselves, you know, with those type of things. So having some muscle mass to reduce some of that over, you know, if you're over flexible type of body type, you know, the thing is that there's all types of bodies that make it to and through BUDS. And there's all types of bodies that fail BUDS. You know, in the end, I think it really comes down
to the same ones, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's no, you know, it really comes down to what's inside that person versus how big his shoulders are, how much bicep he has, and all the, you know, how fast he can run. Because I've seen some of the fastest runners, I've seen some of the strongest dudes, you know, not last 2 weeks, you know, at BUDS. And I tell you what, you know, if you're too lean, you know, it kind of sucks when you're getting cold all the time, you know, because you then really have to focus on your eating? Because I was pretty lean when I went through. I was probably about, 6 feet, 190, 195, somewhere around there. I've had some muscle mass, obviously, on that frame and a strength background. But I didn't lift a lot of weights prior to, because I really had to turn myself into an endurance athlete.
Yep.
From a life of strength and power, football and rugby and, things like that. So it took a couple of years for really to get competitive in a way that I was a good bud student. And even then, running was still my gut check. I never went into a run. It was like, yes, we get to run. It was like I had to turn my game face on and say, all right, I got to stay with the group. All right, I got to keep everybody stay in the pack, not get gooned. Yeah. And that was my gut check every day. So I think everybody's going to have a gut check no matter what body type or experience they're coming from when they're there. And if you're great at everything, you might just hate the cold, It just doesn't matter. So I will say this, our boat crew did really well. I think probably the cool way to look at this, Jeff, is recall boat crews and boat crew size, because we had a bunch of guys that were 6 feet and 190 to 200 pounds. I think we had a 210 pounder that was 6 feet, a little more stockier guy. But we were strong in that boat crew and when we were on our log. And those events never hurt any of us. I mean, don't trust me. They weren't fun. I'm not trying to say they were easy or anything like that. But they never were those moments where I was always glad they were over, but they were never moments that I absolutely hated. I personally hated 4 mile timed runs every week. Those were things I just hated because I knew it was
early morning too. And
yeah, it just sucked.
They just sucked. Right. And so that's the thing too, is like, I'm trying to look at it from an objective physiology standpoint, where mass equals higher blood volume equals more warmth. However, more mass equals higher caloric need.
Yes.
Right. So again, when you shiver, shivering is this, folks, shivering is your body, your muscle fibers specifically contracting and relaxing at a very high rate. It creates friction, which creates warmth. So
requires food in your belly.
Yep. And so that's the flip side, is like more blood volume equals more warmth, more muscle mass equals more warmth. However, you need more calories, you need to eat more and those sort of things, which is probably not a big surprise that more muscle equals necessary more calories. But the thing is what certainly I've been identified as, like, and even used to, is like, these guys lift weights and they don't want people to run, which is completely the opposite of the reality of it. It's just that it's obvious that people have troubles running, right?
Yes.
And we got it. We understand that. But there are more people there are as many people that don't have the strength requirements as there are the people that can't run. And to me, it is, and we've already kind of talked about this a little bit, if you're a great runner, it's easier to add strength as opposed to a strong person trying to become a better runner.
Yes.
And the population of people coming in to be SEALs primarily have been, from what I can tell, a larger percentage of ones that are just endurance-based athletes. So many of them don't need to run as much. They need to get stronger. And so I'm looking at it also, a lot of runners aren't exposed to interval type running either.
Yeah.
And then again, people are talking about, well, I'm looking at the big picture. People are also going, well, I need to become a better runner. Well, the answer to become a better runner initially isn't just, all right, well, I got to start running 4 miles every day. That's way too much.
Yeah.
In terms of stress,
You're
going to end up with shin splints. So easing into that water with working some moderate to short distance interval work, sprinkling in some long work, you get a better variety of running, right? We want you to be even running, you can be more well-rounded in it. That's the idea.
Yeah.
It's not, we're excluding these sort of things. And also there's no real, you have to create a starting point. The starting point is going to be endurance, power, strength, hypertrophy. You got to have a starting point. And if you look at performance-based programming, the starting point is usually a GPP or hypertrophy. It's general. But it creates a great foundation. And it's like anything else. Most people don't have a great foundation as a whole. They might have a really good foundation as a strength athlete or a really good foundation as an endurance athlete. We want you to have a well-rounded base.
Yeah. That's a good point. I would say this, Jeff, too, that, you know, if you were to rank the fitness elements, right, and we're going to call them elements of strength, power, speed, agility, cardiovascular endurance, muscle stamina, you know, mobility, flexibility. Yep. If you were to rank those in order of needs to be a BUD student or to be a successful BUD student, I mean, I would start off with that being, maybe it's just because it was my issue, cardiovascular endurance. Yeah. That was my weakness, so I rank that first. You know, when I come to training, it's like, you got to be a good runner, you got to be a good swimmer. However, you also need strength and power, or I should say maybe muscle endurance next, you know, which is a combination of strength, power, and lots of reps.
For sure.
Whether it's calisthenics or weighted reps. Definitely weighted reps, you know, overhead press and things like that. And then maybe strength and power being third, you know, mobility, flexibility, speed and agility, you know, all those can kind of back down. But I would say the top three for me would be cardiovascular endurance, muscle stamina, and strength and power.
Yep.
Like I said, that's for me. Like if it was a runner ranking these three, I would say just the opposite.
Yeah.
You're going to need strength and power, muscle stamina, cardiovascular endurance.
Right.
So I think the diversity of the crowd that goes there will have a different makeup of those top three.
Just right. Yeah. And here's the other side of it is this is, we know what a 4 mile timed run does to the body. We know what that body needs to do to complete that task. It's an aerobic base. Okay. So is swimming. And that's about it as far as a pure aerobic base.
Yeah.
It buds. I mean, you're going to do endurance types, you know, you're going to do some rucking and stuff like, but in terms of the daily evolutions, the vast majority of that day is a glycolytic system.
Yeah.
Glycogen. Okay. It's that strength endurance, moderate, covering great distance that, you know, cause you're going to get to the end of the buds, not counting the runs, but a lot of those endurance type things really aren't aerobic based. They're anaerobic-ish based.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is we're going to dissect what buds looks like in a physiology lab. What it's going to look like is an endurance, a strength endurance based athlete, not purely endurance and not purely strength. So it's volume.
Yeah.
With the ability to reach into this vast aerobic threshold and also the ability to down ratchet a little bit and do some pseudo maximal strength efforts, jumping, landing, right?
Smart.
Short, quick bouts of explosive whatever, right? Getting over the dirty name, which is jumping and landing, right? Is grip strength. Right. That's not grabbing onto the slide for life or the spider wall or the cargo net is not endurance based. And even like it or not, when you're running back and forth to buds, the pace or to the chow hall, the pace is so slow, you're not getting aerobic.
No.
The only time what you're trying to do is recover from the O course and log PT, your heart rate is coming down, right? Not granted, you're covering mileage each day. But if we're looking at what the heart is doing, if we put heart rate monitors on all the BUD students, you're going to see as the weeks progress, it is not an aerobic-based training program. It's not.
Yeah.
They are getting aerobic. That's not – so don't mistake me.
Yeah.
They are most certainly getting to the aerobic, getting in the Krebs cycle, using ATP and oxygen to facilitate further ATP.
Yeah.
But it's not the bulk of it. Again, same in the teams. When you get in the teams, the bulk of the workload is glycogen. It's an aerobic, anaerobic sort of merging. And for us to say, well, just running is this, or just calisthenics is this, or just weight training, you're missing a big portion of the picture.
Yeah, that's a good point because, I mean, all of that points to fuel, you know, and when we talk about, you know, the what's in your backpack, you know, series that we did with, you know, snacks through the day, all of that will help you keep those fuel stores up so you can go anaerobic real quick and then recover real quick from that anaerobic. Now, I will say this, if you're doing a 4 mile timed run and you're a runner with a running background and you could probably do an anaerobic 4 mile timed run at 22 minutes, but you decide you're going to run 26 and still beat everybody anyway.
Yep.
You know, you are going to be an aerobic easy jog pace for that body type.
Yeah.
You know, your conditioning allows you to be aerobic. And I think that's probably what I try to do as much as I can with myself when I was a student, but also with candidates, is try to help them get into such a good aerobic condition that they don't have to go anaerobic all the time.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, think about the guys who win marathons. You know, when you're talking about a sub-5 minute mile for 26 miles, they are in such good condition that they are able to drop their heart rate enough to be in that aerobic zone, but still be damn fast. I mean, it would be anaerobic for me, you know, probably 20, 30 beats ago.
Yeah.
You know, whereas they can be aerobic running a 5 minute mile at a heartbeat of 115, 120 versus me being at a 180.
They have a larger heart or similar size heart that you do.
Yeah.
But they weigh 100 pounds less.
Yeah. And they got no muscle mass. So
that's what I mean, right? They're 100 pounds less. They have not nearly the capillary beds and muscle body that you do, nor the bone density.
Right.
Nor the height. Yeah. Nor the femur length.
Yeah.
Right. And that's who we're not saying don't be a runner for buds, but what we're also saying is the time that you run to the chow hall, your heart rate is so low, you're actually in a recovery mode. You're active recovering, except for the ground pounding.
Yeah.
Which is why Stu and I keep saying, take care of your feet, take care of your legs. And the best way to take care of your feet and legs is through circulation.
Yeah.
Improve circulation to the peripheral, right? And rest when you can, eat when you can. And that's the thing, is what you're finding is this, is many of you are probably sitting here going, they're giving me all these answers that aren't actually answers. You're right. It's not that simple. It's not as simple as us to go, oh, just follow this program or just do that. Now, unfortunately, we can't work with everyone on an individual basis, so we have to create an 80% solution of creating an online program for you guys that's available for you all, create these videos for you guys all, and then that 20%, you got to start fitting you into them.
Yeah, you got to adjust. Like, none of these books behind me are personal programming for you.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to adjust and add to your weakness what you need to work on. Yeah, that's why Jeff's protocol works so well too. When we talk about, you know, his 300 meter protocol that he has for running, that is all about hitting hard, you know, hitting force, but not all day long. Yeah. You know, it's not going to beat you up like a 5 mile timed run will, but it will get you that same type of force production. That's why I like to do the same thing. I've never done 300s like Jeff does, which we're adding, but I like to do quarter miles. You know, I'll do quarter miles and then I'll rest with an air squat or lunge just to work on some of that muscle, try to recover with some other, you know, muscle endurance exercise.
Yeah. Cause we look at if we look at the greatest anaerobic runners ever, Usain Bolt, a couple other, right? They're typically run 100s and 200s. You don't see the same people typically run the 400s. The exception is a Michael Johnson, who is an absolute freak.
Yeah.
Like, I would consider him almost more of a freak than Usain because if you look at the 400-meter sprinters, that's all they run. They don't do well at 800s, and they're not fast enough. I'm talking pure velocity. Acceleration and velocity for 200s and 100s. The 400 is this really interesting world where the body, really it's between the 300 and 400 meter mark.
Right.
The body, you are either built for that Honestly, that's where I think that genetic disposition kind of has a thing. Like that 300 and 400 distance, difference in distance, it's a totally different runner.
Yeah.
And it's weird because that 400 doesn't do well in comparison to his or her peers at the 800.
Right.
So you start looking at what happens to the physiology between 300 and 400. Well, there's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. You take a look at just body mass.
Yeah.
You look at the huge dudes running hundreds.
Yep.
Big, same guys are running 200s.
Yep.
A little bit smaller, 400. Running 400s. Yep. A little thinner, longer legs. And then the 800s.
Different. Yep.
800s are wiry.
Different body type. Yeah. And so now you're saying, you know, you're probably going, what the hell is the point? Well, look at what Buds is from a physical demand.
Yep.
We don't want you to look like the 100 meter guys. I also don't want you to look like the milers.
Yeah.
We want you somewhere in between the 400 and 800 guy.
Yeah.
Kind of, right? Yeah. But we also want you to be able to tap down and get a 2. We also want you to raise up, slow down, and get to 3 and 4 and 5 miles. And you'll be very hard-pressed to see a Usain Bolt run a 5 mile efficiently. In the same token, you're not going to see someone that runs the 1600 or higher be able to run 100 and 200 quickly.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is the physiological demands that are placed upon you at Buds is the answer.
Right.
That's the answer. It's like, well, what does that mean? It means you already have the blueprint of what's happening in physiology. Now you just got to create a program to facilitate that environment training.
Yep. And in fact, if you take a look at our get through the program, you remember the one we did with get to the program, get through the program, after the program, after Buds, to get through the program, we talk about this in depth, about getting specific to your selection program's requirements.
Yeah.
Your mile and a half after you get selected and you get your contract should start looking like a 4 mile timed run real soon.
Yep.
Right. Your 500 yard swim without fins should look like a 2 mile swim with fins.
Yeah.
Very soon, progress to that.
Yep. And Stu already touched on it as well as that. So the question now some of you are going is like, well, wait a minute. I'm a really good runner and not strong. What do I do? The answer is what is Buds? What is Buds? Buds is what we just talked about and what we've talked about in the past. You have got to take what you are as an athlete and train to that, right? And that's what we keep saying is like, it's not what Jeff and Stu are saying. It's what Buds is and where do you fit on that spectrum, right? Because you need to get here to accommodate the demands of Buds. But if you're a pure runner, a pure strength athlete, you're not here.
Right.
Right. And there's a lot of variety in there. We understand that, but you got to understand that you can't just say run all the time, swim all the time, only lift weights all the time. Don't only do calisthenics.
Don't lift weights.
All of them.
Yeah.
They all are your direction that funnels to what Buds is because Buds exhibits all of those components.
Yeah.
Every component of physicality is in there. Endurance, extreme endurance, aerobic endurance.
Yeah.
Extreme anaerobic endurance, absolute strength, jumping, landing, right? All of that. You're going to find all of it. You're going to find it on land. You're going to find it on obstacles. You're going to find it with objects. You're going to find it in the water. You're going to find it when you had no sleep. That's going to be posed to you when you have minimal food.
Yeah.
So again, here's the idea that we've kind of gotten not off the rails, but you got to understand it's like trying to say, what's the last number? Define the last number, define the size of the universe, an ever expanding infinite universe. Well, what is Buds? Buds is the opposite of that. We know exactly what's expected of you because we know that you guys can look it up, right?
Yep.
So you got to train to that. You got to get, that's what Stu is saying. There's a difference between gaming the system and preparing for the system. Okay. We're doing both, right? You game it ethically, but you're still preparing for what's known. Okay. So again, there is this perpetuated rumor within some of the communities, we'll call it, where Stu and I are not proponents of X, Y, and Z. That's not the truth. We are proponents of them all. And again, I get what I look like. Yeah. I get that. But I'm not, but I'm also, I've been quick to say many, many times, and Stu has as well, if I had to go through Buds again, I'm certainly not going to do it at my body weight.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because it is, I think for my height, 250 is too much. Now, what's the ideal weight? Well, I have to get to a point where I'm running successfully like I was. Well, whatever body weight I end up, that's the perfect body weight because I'm looking at performance markers.
Yeah.
Because the scale is not a measurement of success.
That's a very good point.
The scale is a measurement of hydration.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Right. The scale is a measurement of, hey, I've been sick. I'm feeling pretty good now. How much weight did I lose, water weight or otherwise, to get back to homeostasis? The scale is not the measurement for success.
Yeah, that's a really good point because here's another thing too, is that when I look at my Buds class and it was diverse. I mean, we had guys in there that were my size. We had guys that were taller than me and bigger. We had guys that were way down there in the Smurf crew that were short and thin, short and stocky. We had guys in the middle boat crews that were your average size guy, maybe, you know, 5'10", 180. And we had some guys that were 5'10", 140, 150. I mean, skinny, skinny guys. And we had one really skinny guy like that make it through. And we were just shocked. Every day was just, he froze his ass off every day. Yeah. And when he was under a log and under a boat, he never ducked, never, you know, tried to get out of the weight, but somehow he just, his little bony shoulders and his head and his little neck of nothing around it somehow endured. And he had, he literally had, and when we did a, we did our winter swim. So that big 5 mile swim or 6 mile swim, did that winter swim in December. And they took all our measurements and body temperature and stuff. And we had to take body temperatures afterwards and all that stuff. Yeah, and they took our height, weight, body fat and all that. And he was 3% body fat.
Yeah.
Going through Buds. And this was second phase. You know, he'd already made it through all the hard parts. And we were just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
3%. That is crazy.
We did our swim is in November. That's when we did the 5.5 miles in November.
Yeah.
The second week in November.
Yeah.
And I just know that because we graduated, Buds like 10 days later, which was the November 26th.
We did it back in second phase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Back in my day. Yeah. The 5.5.
And so my, I guess my summary is this, folks, is that there is no perfect, and I'm going to rephrase that. The perfect body weight is the one that you can accomplish and exceed the demands of Buds. And that is where the PST is the marker. The PST is a good litmus test for your ability to produce force, manage force, change direction. And here's why. Of the people that graduated Buds, 100% of them completed the standard.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, well, like that doesn't give me anything. That gives you all, that's the thing is because people are going like, well, are my PST numbers, they good enough, they bad enough? And we've shown you from one of the previous videos that people that score really, really, really high on numbers of PST, there is no, plenty of them fail or quit. People that score really, really poorly, but still achieve the minimum standard, still will graduate. So that's what I'm saying. You're like, well, but the difference is, aside from the mental side of it, that is really hard to objectify, sure, is that they produced, managed enough force to handle the demands of Buds. That's what the PST does. Yeah. It goes, all right, you've met the minimum standard. We know that you're physically capable of handling the force that's going to be placed upon you. Now, that's why I always have said to yours, is like, hey, I can get you physically ready. The rest of it's up to you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And that's the deal.
That's right.
Is now, we can there's been people that have hit the minimum standard and really struggle with Buds, but that's a lot of that is just self-induced stress, something you can't really measure. Like, I'm going to be the first day at Buds. I'm going to be stressed out to the max. My body isn't performing like it could. or I think it should, or like it did the PST, which is why Stu and I spend so much time demand training physical, because the higher physical capability you have, when you're having a terrible day, you still exceed the standard.
And you don't have to engage mental toughness early in that day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't hurt you to a point where you got to suck it up.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to do that right from the start, that's going to be a long day.
Yeah. You know? If you're borderline pass fail on some of your, PST, well, when Bud shows up, or when you show up at Bud's, when stress, again, there's a big difference between PST stress with your mentor, PST stress at Great Lakes with SEALs, their cadre, and PST test when you're at Bud's. That's a totally different point of stress.
Yeah.
So if you're like, you know, 10 push-ups above the standard at boot camp, you can expect that if you don't optimize your performance, that 10 push-ups buffer you have is going to be like a minus 20 when you show up to Bud's, because you're going to be stressed out. You're going to be surrounded by a bunch of meat eaters, and then you're going to be surrounded by a bunch of people that are pretending to be meat eaters.
Yeah.
And what's going to end up happening is the meat eaters are just going to just, they're not going to pay any attention to the people that are dropping off. Like, I can't tell you, you know, it's crazy to think that of my 188 people in my Bud's class, the 22 of us that made it from the original 188, I only remember two people quitting the bell. One was the second night of Hell Week, and I remember the kid still to this day because he had a big fucking mouth. And I remember one of the Bud's instructors was just like, he would encourage us to encourage people to quit. And I remember one other guy quitting too. And we had to go get wet and sandy because we were in second phase, and we happened to be like working on draggers, and we heard the bell ring, and all of us just erupted in laughter and cheering. And someone was having a bad day. The instructor, they came out and was like, go to the surf, man. Remember, you're not graduated yet too. So you figure out of 188 people in my Bud's class, I only remember one person quitting. The Bud's class 247, I remember one person quitting because that's who it was, and we had to go get wet and sandy for cheering for someone quitting. So my point is just that, you know, I was never fixated on what I wasn't able to do. Like, oh my God, I'm worried. I'm like, nope. And the reason why I wasn't worried is because I was physically ready. It wasn't me trying to convince myself, my ego. I was fucking ready.
Yeah, same.
I just had to show up.
Yep, I agree. Hey, you know, let's get a little practical. I want to get real quick. We'll end this thing, but I'm going to real quick make this practical for a couple of minutes. So right now, if I were to have a cross-country athlete and a collegiate football player in my same workout facility, I would do this. I would try to put 10, 15, maybe even 20 pounds of weight on that cross-country runner, especially if he's like 150-ish. And he might be able to run like hell, but he sucks at pull-ups and all the PT, and he's got no strength and never deadlifted before. You know, we would be focusing on strength and power, working on calisthenics and weightlifting.
Yes. Right?
That would be our cycle. I would pull him from running and say, hey, if you want to go run a mile and a half fast, go for it. Don't be running 10-mile runs. Right? Stop. Right? Ooh. Then, if I got the powerlifting football player in there, I pretty much do just the opposite. I say, we are going to run and swim, and instead of running too much too soon, we're going to mix in non-impact cardio activity like biking, elliptical, maybe do what in the triathlete world we call bricks with bike and run combos, which really suck and are great for leg endurance, and then put them in the water and teach them how to swim and just keep swimming them. Take away the weights for a little bit, and do a cycle of calisthenics.
Yep.
So that's how I would handle those type of bodies. And then try to get the one guy to lose weight, try to get the one guy to gain weight. And then somewhere in the middle, we're going to find the perfect body type to go to Bud's. And that one being a big endurance guy and a big guy who is now a little smaller as an endurance guy, and a small guy who's a little bigger who is now a good hybrid strength guy who can still run like the wind.
Right.
So that's because, my ideal guy.
Like, there is this fear of sacrifice of one or the other. And that's the thing is, like, cause again, the track athlete that you mentioned, he's running a sub 6 minute, 6.5 minute mile. We don't need him to run 6 minute miles at Buds.
Right.
Right. If we can get him running a 7 minute mile, but now he's 40% stronger, win-win. Right.
Yep. Still with the strength standard.
Guy. We don't need the strength guy. If he can do the football guy, if he's heavy, he's not going to be doing 30 pull-ups. But what's going to happen is if you start switching him into more of an aerobic fashion, he's going to drop some weight. He's actually not going to sacrifice a whole lot of strength, but his ability to buffer hydrogen and his endurance goes up.
Yeah.
So we're actually accomplishing exactly what we are setting out to without a lot of fear that is perpetuated, like, oh man, if I lift weights, I'm going to get slow. No, you're not. You're going to get powerful.
Yeah. One thing I hate to hear is I'm going to lose my gains.
Yeah, no.
You know,
I had someone email me last week. It was like, oh, I'm going to take the weekend off. Am I going to lose my muscle? No, you won't. No, nope.
Just rest,
man. And I get that. Like, the world is telling you should be training every day and set your hair on fire and taking cold showers.
Don't rest and recover. Yeah. The only time you grow and get stronger is through rest.
Yeah.
You know, your sleep patterns are going to help you recover more than any day off will.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you need to take days off too, obviously, and add in mobility work and all that just to feel better. You know, otherwise you're working on tight muscles and that's no fun either, you know.
Yeah, just be well-rounded. I mean, that's the thing is, and so here is the overall solution is this:
close it up.
Whatever you are, the surest way to achieve what we're talking about is give yourself enough time.
Yeah.
And pick a good program that suits you, your strengths and your weaknesses, keeps you well-rounded, right? That's the key is that this can't be achieved if you don't give yourself enough time to achieve this adaptation, or, well, oh, you're stubborn, like the other side. Yeah, or the program that you're following is counterintuitive or counterproductive to what you're trying to achieve, right? It's like, oh, I need to drop a bunch of weight, but you're working a hypertrophy program and your caloric intake is here. That's also not going to work.
Right.
So I get that asked all the time. It's like, what program is going to work for me to drop weight? And I go, well, it really comes down to eating habits, not a program initially. So that's the thing is a good program, give yourself enough time and you can accomplish it.
Yeah. Time is the key. You know, like I said, I see guys trying to give themselves 2 to 3 months to prepare for this type of stuff. And I mean, you might not even prepare for optimal PT scores in 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
Again,
the only person that I could see doing that, and
maybe the wrestler.
Yeah, it's the same. Like I was a bit weird in that regard, right? My first PST was ridiculous. Like, but that's just because I grew up wrestling and swimming, and I was a strength coach, and I'd been preparing for it since I was 12 years old.
Absolutely. That's, you know? That's the like, ticket. Yeah.
I wasn't a 12-year-old going, I want to be a SEAL. I was a 12-year-old that was immensely driven by sport. That's
yes.
All I wanted to do.
Yes.
All I ever wanted to do was swim in the Olympics and
yep.
play baseball in the same Olympic year. That's all I wanted to do.
Absolutely. You know what? I tell kids that all the time when they say, hey, I'm 13 years old and I want to be a Navy SEAL. What should I do? You know, go play sports.
Yeah.
Go be the best, you know, work out to be the best athlete you can be in whatever sport you want to do. Because, I mean, I think something that you get from that is way more valuable than go working out on your own and being a Rambo is team camaraderie, you know, learning how to be a team player, you know, and just have like-minded goals with your team. I mean, that is invaluable. So get out there and do that stuff. If you're a young guy watching this, you know, don't worry about your workout and your hypertrophy program, you know, and do that. Go
be active.
If you want a hypertrophy program, do it because you want to get big for football or you want to get big. You want to be a power lifter or whatever, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of times folks it's very hard for us to be subjective and objective to our own personal needs and desires. It's okay to have weaknesses. It's okay. Because the only way you're going to fix those is identify them
yeah.
and then train them, train your weaknesses. Pretty soon your weaknesses aren't going to be a weakness anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So, all right. So there you go. There's a lot of stuff we talked about today. Hope it made sense. There's really no one body type that makes it through buds. They all make it through buds, but there is one interior type that makes it through. And that's, you just got to have a really big heart. And when I say heart, I don't mean physically the heart organ. I mean your desire and how bad you really want this. And you will only know how bad you really want it when your day really sucks and you're alone with your thoughts, cold, wet, and sandy, sitting in the surf. That's when you're going to figure out how bad you want it.
Yep.
You know, and that's just, until that moment, you won't know.
Yep. And it's easier to manage all of that internal struggle if you know you're physically capable.
Yes.
When you question your physical capability, that internal struggle and emotional struggle and the wanting to quit or whatever, it will show its head. I wasn't worried about it because I was like,
I didn't think about it. You know, if you don't think about quitting, you won't quit. If you think about winning things and being the first one out or the first one in, you know, you're not going to lose and you're not going to think about quitting. So there you go.
Agreed.
All right.
All right, Stu, I appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll see you. Good luck, everybody. Take care.